Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, again for another opportunity to gather and to worship you, our God. We are thankful that we have the freedoms that we do, that we have been allowed again to gather, quietness, unmolested. And so now we would look to thee as our Father in heaven, who would look down upon us with grace and favor, and who would provide our physical and spiritual needs as we need. Bless us as we call upon thee in this afternoon hour, in Jesus' name, amen. With the help of the Lord, I would like to read out of the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Nađena je prva Solomljanova peta glava.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the light, night nor of darkness. And therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. And wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, and despise not prophesyings, and prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss, and I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Be with you. Amen.
O God, our Father in heaven, we kneel before thee and approach the throne of grace, which is made possible through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy intercession. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou wilt hear our prayer as we have assembled together to worship thee in this afternoon hour, that thou wilt hear our prayer and that thou wilt present it and make it presentable unto the Father, so that we would be heard, that our petitions would be heard, and that thou, Lord Jesus, who has come here upon this earth and has given thyself as a sacrifice, as we have read in this chapter here, as we, the church, are waiting for thy return, O Lord. The times and the seasons is not for us to know. And it is not our concern, O Lord, but we look for thee. And we look for thee, and we are a people that is prepared for thy coming. And so, Lord, this chapter exhorts us for the hope that we have in thy return, the hope that we have that thou will come back to take thy own, thy church, the body, that we pray, O Lord, that we would be in that number. It would be in that number and that we would be found waiting, not as one who gets his house broken into by a thief as he comes in unawares, O Lord, but that we would be as those people who are waiting for thy return, that thy coming, O Lord, would find us ready to be called. We pray, O Lord, that this afternoon hour, as we have come together with our children, with our friends, that thou would speak to each one of our hearts, O Lord. We thank thee for the desire that thou hast placed in the hearts of those of our friends who have gathered together, all our young teenagers and young adults, O Lord, who have come together. We pray, O Lord, and lift them up in prayer unto thee, that this chapter would also waken them up and bring them out of the darkness unto this light, which is Jesus Christ, thy ways, thy path, O Lord, which thou hast shown, which they know of, which they have heard from their early youth, O Lord. Many have heard of thee and have known, O Lord, what thou hast done, that thou hast given thyself as a sacrifice for our sins, that thou would, O Lord, bring us back unto the Father. So we pray, Heavenly Father, thy word would go out, that as our brother would speak from this word, O Lord, that thou would speak to him and through him, that, Lord Jesus, thou would be exalted and glorified, and that we would come to the full understanding and the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. For thereby alone, O Lord, are we shown the way to the Father. So abide with us and bless us, O Lord. We also want to call upon thee and pray for our dear brothers and sisters and friends who could not gather with us in this afternoon hour, who are not within hearing ear of thy word and the reading of thy word. O Lord, we pray that they would spend this hour also in solitude, O Lord, with thee, that thou, Lord Jesus, are able to bless all who have their hearts centered upon thee and their thoughts go heavenward. O Lord, we have read and sung that, O Lord, thou art hearing even the sighs of a Christian. And so, Lord, thou hearest and knowest everything that we go through, all of our troubles, our concerns, our sighs, O Lord, but bring them all unto the perfect understanding of who thou art, O Lord, that we would find our hope in thee. That our hope is in thee. When we have our hope in thee, O Lord, there is nothing in this life that could make us despondent and come to a point of despair, O Lord, but no, we would bring all that unto thee. Our hope is in thee, so our strength comes from thee. So abide thou with us, bless us, we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
I was inspired this morning as the brother read out of the book of Luke concerning the question that the apostles asked, or it was at the disciples at the time, and they asked the Lord when these things would be and when he would return. And the question of when he will return is probably one that we would all love to know. However, even Christ himself said he does not know when he will return. It's up to his Father, and it is entirely his will. So when we think about that, we don't know when he's coming, then the Lord exhorts us to be ready at any given time, so that when he does come, we're ready to go. And that's why the apostle writes to the Thessalonians and he says that the times and the seasons, I don't need to write to you, and you know perfectly know the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And so that's the reason we don't know when he's coming, because he's going to come and he's going to come as a thief in the night. And when he comes, it's going to be quick. It's going to be very quick. And the analogy of a thief is used because that's the way a thief operates. He comes, he takes what he wants, and he goes. And that's how the church is going to be taken out of this life, out of this world, like a thief in the night. He's going to come quickly. We're all going to be gone. We're going to disappear. And those of you who are left behind are going to be left wondering what happened. And so he exhorts us here as he says here that we are brethren and we're not in darkness, that day should overtake us as a thief. And that's very true to us as believers in Jesus Christ. Those of us that have been converted, those of us that are waiting for the Lord to return, we shouldn't expect this or be unexpecting when this is going to take place. We're all expecting it and we're all waiting for it, and it's not going to come, as he says there. We shouldn't overtake us as a thief, because we are children of the light, he said, children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. So he identifies the two of us here, believers and unbelievers, children of the light and children of the darkness. For the children of darkness, that is going to be a surprise and a different experience. For those of us that are waiting and ready, it's going to be something we expected. And again, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen quickly. So as those of us that are children of the light, that's why he says here, then, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch means that we're going to be ready. Oftentimes, maybe by myself, and I would just look into the skies, and I would see the clouds, and I would think, that's how the Lord's going to come back. He's going to come back in the clouds, because he says in the scriptures in Acts, the second chapter, it talks about how he left, and he went up into the sky, disappeared behind the clouds, and they said, then that's the way he's going to return. So oftentimes wondered how that's going to happen, how that's going to be, especially when you think about how is it going to happen here in the United States at the same time happen in the other side of the world in Australia. But I don't have to worry about that. It's going to happen. How he does it, when he does it, it doesn't make no difference. The point being that we, as his children, need to be watchful and sober. Sober meaning that taking life seriously. Sober meaning that what the Lord has said in his word, we need to take it very serious. That's being sober. Not talking about being drunk or undrunk. It's talking about thinking clearly, watching, waiting for the Lord to come back. And this is sober thinking, because it is a sober thing. If you think about it, those of us that are ready, those that are ready, we're waiting and watching. Those that are not, you're going to be caught off guard and wanting. That's why we try to encourage you. That's why many times you hear sermons. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to seek out, find the Lord, accept him as your personal Savior. Because today, don't put it off tomorrow. Tomorrow might be too late. Today is the time. And that's why we encourage so often, so many times, this is the day of salvation. The Lord comes and he visits you. You need to respond to his visit, respond to his calling, and answer it in the way that you know how, the best that you know how to do. Well, he says, well, they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for an helmet of hope of salvation. And the Apostle Paul writes also in Ephesians that he talked about the armor that we're to put on as believers. And here he talks about it also again, the breastplate of faith and of love and of a helmet of the hope of salvation. Because he says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can be very thankful for this plan of salvation that God has ordained through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. And he didn't make this up so that, and he didn't bring us into this world so that he could destroy us and so that he could put us in hellfire and burn forever. No. In fact, he didn't make hell for those of us, of any of his people. He made that for the devil and his angels. And so if you're led by the devil and you're part of that, you're not a converted individual, then you're a part of the devil, and that's what your place is going to be. You got to understand that. God didn't make that for you. He appointed us to be heirs of salvation through our Lord. He wants us to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is all about. And we need to accept that as our personal Savior, as our Lord, and one that can save us from eternal condemnation. And of course, it's a lot easier said than done sometimes. I know when you're a young person, you think you got the whole life ahead of you. Possibly you do. But I've known a lot of young people that never was given the opportunity to see old age. They were taken out of this life, and many times instantly, shortly, unprepared, unready to go, unready to meet their Creator. You don't have to let that happen to you if you accept the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul is telling us here. And so, as we realize that it says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And so, this is the hope and the plan that God has for those that accept his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the hope that we have. This is the encouragement that we get. When we come and we hear the word, we're strengthened by it. We're encouraged in our faith. We put on the helmet of salvation. All of these things encourage us, bring us together, draw us together. And as we know that this is the thing that we all long for. And this is probably the reason that so many of us are so thankful and glad that we could come together, gather again and hear God's word. You know, we was able to listen to the word on live streaming, and that was good. I was real thankful for that. You could hear sermons, even we heard our brothers made messages, and we could hear them. But it's not like coming here, being together, and sitting down and worshiping God, and then fellowshipping one with another, converted or unconverted alike. It's something that just, we're so thankful that we're drawn together and that we can love one another, serve one another, as the Scripture teaches us. And so, as he says here, that we realize that this is what it's all about, since we're appointed for salvation, and that we have this comfort. It says, for where comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even also as you do. So let us be encouraged one with another. Let us remain faithful. You know, sometimes you hear about some of these souls that find it more interesting in the world. They seem like they're missing out on something maybe, and as a result, they fall back and they want to live it up and they want to go do what their thing, and the next thing you know, they're going down the tubes fast. That can happen. Unless you do what it says there, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and cling to Jesus Christ, we can easily lose this salvation if we're not careful. This is why we're to watch and be sober. Because there's always that Satan's always right there to take it away, to destroy us in any way that he can. We heard about that this morning. And he will try hard as he can. How does he do it? He does it one sin at a time. One sin at a time. You do one sin, it wasn't so bad. You do another one, oh, that wasn't so bad. Next thing you know, you're back into sin. Next thing you know, you go clear off onto the deep end. And you got no use for this kind of life. You got no, and it's sad to see people like that. But it does happen. Unfortunately, there are souls that don't understand, don't care about their soul salvation. That's what it is. And until you think soberly, think of what you're going to, where you're going to spend eternity and how long eternity is. That's forever. You can't, our minds cannot comprehend how long forever and ever and ever is. But if you think about it, I know this is what converted me. Because my mother told me I was going to burn forever if I didn't change my ways. And I did not want to do that. Because I thought, and I tried to imagine, how long is forever. I didn't want to spend my eternity in hell. And so I converted. It took a while. I was already married and had a couple children. Not a good idea. Not good at all. It's risky. It's risky because the thing that converted me was when my uncle was killed in an automobile accident so suddenly. And it just, six of them in the car, and the only ones lived was his wife and daughter. The rest of them killed them all. Went over an embankment, hit an oak tree, done. That quick. You think you're going to live here forever? You don't know. You never know when somebody's going to come flying through a red light, stop street, whatever, smash into you, you're done. These kind of things are thinking soberly. It can happen. And you can be lost forever and ever and ever. So then he encourages us here. Serve the Lord, love him, put on the breastplate of faith, and trust the helmet of salvation. This is freely given. It's God's free gift to us. Why can't we just accept it as he so wants us freely to give to us? He won't make us do it. He don't twist our arm. He don't force us. He doesn't want robots. He wants willing souls that want to serve him and his son Jesus Christ. We must be willing to do this. And once we get it through our mind that we want to be willing to do this, it's going to make all the difference in your life. If you're not willing, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So let us be encouraged, dearly beloved, as he says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and being at peace among yourselves. So, you wonder why you hear this? This is why. So that you would have a respect for those that would warn you, would teach you to think soberly, would warn you about the things to come that is going to happen to you if you don't follow the ways of the Lord. If you don't be watchful and sober in your life and be careful. And so you're to esteem them highly, as he says there. And then he goes on to say, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. And those of you that are teenagers, your parents are practicing patience. Those of you that have not made a covenant or don't have any desire, your parents are praying for you, and they are sober, they are watching, and they're being very patient. But nevertheless, have that hope and desire that one day you will change your ways. And so he exhorts us, see that none render evil for evil in any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And this rejoicing evermore, you know, when you become one of God's children, you really have something to rejoice over. Not always are we rejoicing. Some things go bad, some things go sour. We're not so happy about those things. And it's a little difficult to rejoice. But nevertheless, if we can look at what God is trying to show us, what God is trying to teach us in the situation that you find yourself, you will find a chance to rejoice. Because remember this, it can always be worse. No matter what it is, it can always be worse. And so because it's not worse, we got reason to rejoice. And again, pray without ceasing. That means all the time. You know, I can remember my mother oftentimes would mention about prayer and that we should pray. And I believe that she was a praying, godly woman. I believe most mothers are, as well as dads. We don't know how many prayers that go up for our children, how often we pray for them. We have to pray without ceasing. If we don't pray, it might not ever happen. That's why we're encouraged here to pray without ceasing. In everything, giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore. This is the will of God. This is what he wants for us. This is why he called us here to be his children, that we could have these aspects, if you will. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecy, sayings. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And so he encourages us here, especially going through tribulations and like we may have recently, hold fast to the things that are good. Keep the faith, in other words. Remember the things that you learned. And I believe it's important for us to come and hear them again every week. It's important. So because we're so easy to forget or remember what we heard last week even. And so we're encouraged to quench not the spirit, despise not prophecies, but hold fast that which is good. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here the Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, is a church, is a body of believers. He is encouraging that the God of peace might sanctify you wholly. In other words, set us apart. He will set us apart. If we, and James reminds us that to resist the devil and he flee from us, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. This is what is meant here also by this. He will sanctify you wholly. And he sets us apart so that we can devote our lives and our soul and our doings, our beings to him. Pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore. This is the message that he's given us here, that the peace of God might rule in our hearts. We all want the peace of God. We all want to live in peace. And the way that we can do it is by the teachings that we learn and out of his word week after week. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And there again, he encourages us here that we know that God is faithful in all things that he does and says. We can rely on his faithfulness. The question is, can he rely on our faithfulness? When we know and realize how faithful God is to us, it encourages us then to be faithful to Him, to our Lord and Savior. And by being faithful to Him, it simply means that we just don't allow sin to be in our lives. Don't yield to the temptations that Christ or that Satan gives us. Avoid them as much as possible. Live with in peace as much as possible. And that's the reason that we strive for this faithfulness, and he'll remember us in our faithfulness. Because he loves us, he wants us to serve us, he's called us for his soul salvation. And he would not had, and it's his desire that none should perish, that all should come to the knowledge of the truth, but not all come. And so let us be thankful that we have a God that had called us, who will also do it, as he says here. And then he says, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And so the apostle had a lot to teach us. God used him to bring these words to life, pen them down, write to the churches, and as a result, they have become the Word of God for us to follow, ways to know and understand what His will is for our lives and how we can live a holy and acceptable, blameless life to His honor and to His glory. And this is why I believe that it's so important, and we're so thankful that we can come to church, hear the words of life and truth, be encouraged one with another. And as he says here, and then he encourages us here to greet one another with a holy kiss, and that this should be read among the brethren. At this point in time, it seems to be a concern that you embrace and that you would kiss one another. And that's understandable. But that's not going to be forever. That's not the thing that God expects. But I believe that if we do, God will protect us. God will watch over us. He's faithful. And he will watch over us no matter what we say or do. If it's His will that we're going to catch the coronavirus, it doesn't make any difference if it's because we kissed holy kisses or whether we didn't come near anybody. If He wants us to have it, we're going to get it. And if He don't want us to have it, we won't. We have to trust Him that He will spare us because He loves us, and we can, of course, you got to use your own common sense. He doesn't tell us to go live recklessly and then, okay, that's like going down the highway down here and going 50, 60, 70 miles an hour when it's a 35-mile zone and say, oh, God will take care of me. Wait, no. It don't work like that. Why would you tempt the Lord? So you see, we got to use our mind and our heads, understand what it means, what the Scripture's talking about. And then we can do it and do it sensibly, understand what His will is for our lives. That's why He teaches us here. Quench not the Spirit, despise not the prophesying, love Him and to serve Him. And so may God bless these words upon our hearts and as we are encouraged one with another, encourage us with this hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear ones, the Holy Spirit has given us a very powerful analogy in this chapter that we have read of what it means to serve Him. And He talks about sleep and He talks about drunkenness. We know very well that one who is asleep is oblivious to the things that are going on around him. He cannot respond to anything that is happening. He's asleep. And He talks about a Christian who falls asleep. He cannot respond to the things that are going on in his own heart and life because he's oblivious. He's asleep. What happened? He tells us later in the chapter, quench not the Spirit. to the church in Ephesus, he says, grieve not the Spirit. The word grieve is a love word. I can't grieve you unless you love me. I can infuriate you. I can make you mad at me and angry, but if you love me, I can only grieve you. And he tells us, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve God. He loves us. Quench is a word that literally means to put out, to extinguish. Imagine a Christian extinguishing the Spirit within him. Well, how's that done? Falling asleep. Drunkenness. He's talking about drunkenness. Who gets drunk? The one that gets drunk is the one, the answer for whatever it is that he has, the answer for it is in the bottom of that bottle. Until he gets to the bottom and he finds no answer there. Isn't that in the heart of a Christian who quenches the Spirit? The answer for me is in this, or in this sin, or is in this sin. It's in here until it's done. And there's no answer there. He says, don't put out the Spirit. Don't put him out. We know what happened to the church in Ephesus. He told them, don't grieve the Spirit. And later on, he tells them, he says, if you do not repent, I will take out your lamp. Dear ones, darkness, drunkenness. We don't have to literally be asleep and drunk to be asleep and drunk. He's speaking spiritually here. And the things that make us fall asleep and make us look for the answers in the bottom of a bottle, such as when you do infuriate me, my answer is in my anger at you. That's my answer. And there's no answer there. There's no answer there. And so it arises through jealousies, through all kinds of different things, which the source of all of those things is pride and self. It's about me. And when those things arise in my heart, I am falling asleep spiritually. I am not ready for his coming. I am drunk. When I'm drunk, I cannot respond properly to those things that are around me. Or I'm asleep and I can't see those things that are around me. And I've quenched the Spirit. I've taken an extinguisher to the Spirit of God that is there to lead me. I don't want him. I put him out. And I still have a false hope that I can still go on and live the way I want to live. Paul is telling us here, be careful. Jesus tells us, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Don't let darkness come upon you. The way darkness comes upon us is when I quench the Spirit. The Spirit leads me, tells me, don't do this. Do this. Do this which is good. Do this which is wholesome. Do this which is God glorifying. No, I've quenched him. But he says, walk while you have the light. If you don't, darkness is going to come upon you. He says, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. The warning is clear, given. Did we hear it? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.